It's time for a new start, time for a new beginning. Yes, it's time to belong to something important, and you are the only thing important.
Hallelujah.
To belong as citizens of your kingdom, to belong to the Father through Jesus Christ. Have your way today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Welcome. Ooh, thank you, God. Isn't it great to worship Him? And watch all our children heading out. Let's pray for them. God, we pray for those little ones, every one of them, Lord. Every one of them is precious. And even as they wave as they leave, God, thank you for them. Thank you for that generation of young boys and girls that are growing up to know you and love you. And we commit them to you, God. And I pray that today there will be important seeds of truth that are planted in their lives. And I thank you, God, that we can take care of them and that you entrust them to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, today we're going to spend a little time talking about God. Big surprise. Oh, really? I want to ask you this, the question about, you know, it's a question that's out there and everyone's asking it, and we know the answers to it, and the question is, how do you know God? How do you know there is God? The first four words of the Bible are, in the beginning, God. It's the most basic creed, really. It's the beginning of truth. In the beginning, God. And a lot of us here today nod our heads in assent to that. We go, yes. In the beginning, God, I know that, I believe that, and I hold that dear in my heart. But how do you know it? And how has God, I guess the question, if I could rephrase it, is how has God shown himself? How, maybe there's some specific examples today that you have that won't be real long, they're going to be kind of short, but just ways of sharing, you know, the reality of God. He is real, you know, that this is actually true. Isn't that amazing? Like all the stuff we talk about and everything we read in the Bible, it's actually true. I mean, it is really the truth of God, and that's a great thing. Like, we're not making this up. This isn't just some nice theory that someone came up with. This isn't just a book that someone sat down one day and said, you know, I'm going to write a Bible. That's a great idea. This is the actual truth that we proclaim. So today the question is, how has God proven himself? How has God shown himself to you? And maybe that's a way of encouraging other people. I'm going to start with a story that I heard last night. So I'm going to start talking about my wife because she's not here. And so that's fair game, I think. And, you know, sometimes we say amen, or your neighbor might say amen to something and you might not say amen. We don't always say amen to the same thing, but we will all say amen to the fact that I have an amazing wife, right? And I do. I'm a very blessed man. I have a wife who loves me with an undying love. I have a wife who is extremely beautiful. I have a wife who loves God with all of her heart, and she takes such good care of me. I have a wife who has forgiven me, even when everyone around her said, don't do it, don't forgive him. He's just a scoundrel. Have nothing to do with this guy. Just, you know, take off. Go, you know, don't show him grace. Don't show him forgiveness. My wife said, no, that's not what God has been telling me. And that was 17 years ago. And I have a wife who says, I'm going to stay with you. And I know she's not here today, so I can talk about her. She's something amazing in my life, and I think she is an example to a lot of people of what it looks like, what grace in the flesh really looks like. And I know, you don't need to remind me of this. I know that I am extremely blessed or fortunate, if you want to use the world's language. I know that. You don't need to tell me that. I know that. You don't need to tell me I don't deserve her. I know that. But I'm gonna keep her anyway. See, you know. So anyways, this week, some of you who know Crystal know that her mom has been sick for a long, long time. Since 2000, she's been in a nursing home, and for about 10 years she hasn't had the opportunity to really talk with her mom. And 30 years ago, I stole her from the States, so I've always kind of felt kind of bad about that. So I brought her here, and she's, again, she's just been faithful and hung out with me for 30 years and raised five boys. And but she hasn't, because of that, she hasn't always had the opportunity to spend the time with her own sisters and with her own mom as much as I think she would have liked. Her mom's been sick for 10 years and really hasn't been able to talk to her and has had a real serious dementia and a form of Alzheimer's. And just for the last 3 or 4 years, she's been just sitting there in a vegetative state, and almost once in a while, there'd be just a glimpse of something, but there's almost no life there, and it just doesn't seem like that's a good way to live. Anyhow, this week, Crystal got a call from one of her sisters that her mom was going to die, and that it was time to, if you're going to come, and we honestly, we've said goodbye to her every year we've gone to Iowa. We've always said goodbye and thinking this will probably be the last time, but she's a stubborn woman and doesn't die easily. So we on Thursday, she got the call, and we just talked with each other and said, you know, do you want to go? Like, we've done this, we've said goodbye. Is this important or not? And she didn't know. And I said, well, just pray. Just seek God. God will tell you whether you should go or whether you shouldn't go. And on Thursday, she talked to one of her sisters, and she said, you know, I think I got to go. I just got to be there. And man, that's just the best thing that ever happened. She's been speaking to me or talking every night the last couple nights and saying how great it is to be there and to spend the time with her sisters. Anyways, let me get to the God part of this. So her mom, they said she's probably got a couple weeks to live, and she was not, you know, death wasn't imminent. It wasn't going to happen that quickly. And that this was, last night was the opportunity that she's going to say goodbye to mom and pray with her. And she told me the night before, I just want to pray with mom. I just want to tell her what a great mom she's been. She said, then I know I got to go home today. So she's coming back today. And so she did that, and she was able to borrow her aunt's violin, and her sister's a really wonderful piano player. So throughout the day yesterday, they gave little concerts for her mom, and she said, we sang heaven songs, and those are all the old gospel songs, and she played her violin, and just in peace, and there was a look that was different on her face. And after about 7 o'clock last night, they did that third little concert, and they played a bunch of heaven songs. I know they did, you know, I Come to the Garden Alone, and those wonderful hymns. And then her sister said to her, would you just like a couple of minutes alone with mom? Because we're leaving pretty soon, and you're going to fly out early in the morning. And Crystal said, yeah, that'd be great. So Twyla, her sister, left. And then Crystal just grabbed her mom's hand and sat with her, she said, Mom, I just got to tell you that you've been such a great mom. You were such a wonderful mom in my life, and you showed me God, and you showed me how to serve, because that's all her mom ever did, is she just served God, and she served people. She was just a servant, you know, servant of the Most High God. And she just thanked her mom for the years that she had enjoyed with her and for raising her. And just for how deeply grandma loved her grandkids and, you know, all that stuff. And then she said, Mom, I just want to pray with you before I leave. But Mom, I'm not going to be coming back. This is us saying goodbye right now until that day when we're going to be together again. So I don't know what she all prayed. My wife can pray, you know, and she knew this was the last time. And so she prayed with her mom, and she was finished. She opened her eyes. She said, amen. And at the moment, her mom died. She just let it go, you know, just released. She gave up her spirit. And it was just a treasure, is the way Crystal would describe it. It was a treasure. It was a privilege to be able to walk your mom, you know, from this life to the next life. And I believe this was God saying to my wife, well done. You are a good and a faithful daughter. And here's something I can do for you. You're going to spend this last moment with your mother. And, you know, you maybe don't believe in God, but man, I sure do. And he proved that. You know, he proves it to my family. He proved it to her. It was such a privilege to be able to spend that time with her and her mom. And I guess it's my little story saying, God is so real. He really is. He does so many things that we don't even see or we miss or we don't recognize. God, if God is so real, you need to know that today. Yeah, you got a story too. Okay, here. Or that's what you're raising your hand for, I take it, right? Come on, stand up.
Sympathizing with Crystal's story, I went through the same thing with my mother. Well, sympathizing with Crystal's story, I went through the same thing with my mother. We got saved at a young age, and my mom, in her last days, when she went to be with the Lord, she was a Christian, and she died from a diabetic stroke. But on her deathbed, she was prepared to go. She said, "This is it. I'm not coming back." And I spent every day with her. Out of all my brothers and sisters, I was with her 24/7. And she had a paralyzing stroke. And I had to lift her up because she wanted to sit up. She wanted to do this. And she said, "Open up the Bible to Luke 6, to Luke." And I opened it up. And she said, "If the Lord would grant me one more wish on this earth," she said, "I would go out and preach this message." And it always stuck with me, Luke 6:46. "Why call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I ask?" That's what she said. She said, "I know the Lord has his hand on you."
Yeah.
"Even though your family is struggling," she said, "with God, and they're backslidden," and she said, "you're going to bring them to the Lord."
Jesus.
She said, "Because I see God on you," she said. And then about 3 o'clock, well, 12 o'clock, she said, "Well, I had my two nieces with me." And she said, "Take them home and feed them." So I was the only one, because my family lived out of town. So I was the only one there. So I went back. The nurses and doctors were asking me about how she would be, like, what's her will to live. I said, "She went through a lot," I said.
Yeah, he's going to bring another one.
Okay, that was
just briefly now. There we go.
So she went through a lot, and
amen.
Like, the Lord healed her of many things, but this was her time. She, the night before, she seen a vision of her sitting in this arena with a bunch of her family that went on to be with the Lord. And she made plans, and she told me,
"Yeah,
I'm not coming back."
Thank you, God.
She said, "Do not cry for me," she said, "for you know where I'm going."
Mm-hmm.
But she said, "Cry for those that are lost." And I said, "God, I'm going to grant those wishes."
Yeah.
So I did. When she passed away, I never cried. I rejoiced. And so anyways, onto that. So now, then I struggled for so many years after she passed away. And then I said, "Okay, Lord, I'm going to hold to that Bible scripture." And I said, "Lord, if there's anything I can do out there," I said, "I'm going to do it for in honor of her," I said, "because she never got to fulfill that scripture. So I'm going to do it, and this is where I'm at."
Amen.
Amen. So
thanks.
I just give everybody the encouragement to stand and to stand with God, because this is it. There's nothing out there.
That's right. And tell people about Jesus.
Yes.
Amen.
So, amen.
Thank you, Terry. Barb.
Okay. God is real. I've had a difficult relationship with my dad most of my life. And over this last month, he's really given me a compassion and a love for him, and it's only from him. Only from him. And so I'm actually going to be leaving on Friday to go and live with my dad in Agassiz, BC.
Mm-hmm.
For however long. I'm hoping I'll be back next summer or fall, but I'm not quite sure. Thanks, Dad. God is the only one who could have changed my heart like that.
Yeah.
And there's just an amazing love for this man
that's
now.
Right.
And he's not a Christian, so that's something that I'm going back for as well. And I have a sister and nieces who also are not Christians who live in Surrey. And so I just, I have a plan, but God has a bigger plan, I know. And I'm just going to miss you guys.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate, as a family over the last 6 years, and some amazing people you are, and God is just... He's just growing you up and just doing amazing things, and I'm going to keep in touch.
You sure are.
And and I'm going to miss you guys so much.
Let me pray for you.
Okay.
Okay. So, God, we pray for Barb, and I thank you that you have laid it on her heart to spend her time with her dad as he's failing in his health. And That's not an easy thing to do, God, so I pray for strength for her, and I pray that more than anything, she'll be just that vessel that is able to communicate the love of Jesus to family there, to her dad, and to other family members as well. Go with her, God. Give her courage. Give her strength. Give her grace. Help her, Lord, to see you, Lord. Whenever she opens her eyes, that she recognizes Jesus. I pray, God, that you'll bring her back, and I'm bold in asking you that, God. We're just bold, and pray that the day will come when this chapter is done, and she can come back and, again, carry on her work here. And I love Barb. We love her, God. We send her out, Lord, with your blessing upon her. We pray that your angels would protect her. We pray that your hand would be on her in everything that she does, God, and that you will bless her in all of her ways. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you. Tim first, sorry.
Just along the lines of, I guess, funerals. We were at a funeral last week, and I think you asked the question, how do we know that mm-hmm. God is real? Well, my son's a pilot, and he just recently got on with WestJet, and so because of that, as his parents, we can fly standby. So we can't fly free. We just have to pay landing taxes, but we can go on standby. So he looked up some flights and stuff, and we were supposed to fly out from Calgary to Nanaimo last Friday for my wife's father's funeral. And so he kind of checks on the internet and stuff to see how many seats are still available and all that and whether it looks like it would be good to get on that flight. And at the last minute, he says, Dad, there's only about 5 or 6 seats left on that plane. He says, probably shouldn't try to get on that one, but there's 40 seats available on a plane up in Edmonton. Why don't you go up to that one? You'll be sure to get on. And so there was 4 of us. It was my wife and myself and my daughter and my other son. And so we went up to Edmonton, and we got to the WestJet check-in, and they said, sorry, but this flight is full. Mm. And I said, really? I said, there was 40 seats available at midnight last night. And they said, yeah, but there's been so much fog down on Vancouver Island and in Vancouver and everything else, like everybody's bumped and everybody's coming up and getting on this airplane. And so, sorry, but you're out of luck. So then we thought, well, I started praying. Mm-hmm. I said, Lord, okay, now what? Because we got to get there. And so I said, well, I thought to myself, well, who knows? Like maybe there'll be 4 people that don't show up for this airplane that are booked on it, but their van breaks down or who knows what'll happen. So, well, let's go check
it
out.
You weren't wishing that, though.
No. Anyways, the cool part about this story is after everybody got on the plane, right at the very last minute, there was the lady said she was asking for a party of 4, not us, but another party of 4, and she's calling out this name and nobody's answering. So we're looking down to see if anybody's running down through the airport or whatever to catch a plane at the last second, and they weren't. So she called us up and she says, well, I can take 3 of you. And we were talking to this other guy that was standing there earlier, and he was going to Vancouver Island stuff too, and he knew that we were going to a funeral. So he came up to the desk, and he gave up his seat.
Wow.
And the 4 of us got on the plane. And the other neat thing about this story is that when I shared that with a person that didn't know the Lord down at that funeral, when I shared that story, they broke down in tears.
Wow. God is real.
God is real.
Amen. Amen. It's a good story. We're going to just, come on, Bill. I'm just going to ask you to keep them short if we can so we can hear just more.
For the last several weeks, you haven't seen me much around here. I was over at City Center Church in Edmonton one time. The rest of the time, I was tangling with me and God, and I really was having trouble with Christianity to the point of, and all the stuff that I seen and the stuff you hear on the streets and everything else. I was mulling it over whether or not I was going to stay. And this morning, and well, last night, I was asking the Father, show me if my prayers are working, Father, because it really sounds like I'm blowing hot air. And I don't blow hot air. Well, yeah, I do once in a while. So this morning, I was blessed greatly by one of the people in here. I prayed for somebody that's very near and dear to her. And for the last month and a half, that person's life has changed.
Thank you, God.
Sorry, Father. Just know that he is with you, every last one of you.
Mm-hmm.
And we are vessels. We're not leaders or lords or anything like that. We're his vessels.
Thank you, God. Amen. Okay, Ricky. Remember the question. How do you know that God is real?
Exactly.
Exactly.
In my parental home, there was a big book standing in the bookcase, The Living Word. I looked at that book many times, and my dad would read the Bible 3 times a day to us. And I said, "Ah, Lord, after all that reading, I don't know if your word can live. That's crazy." And so I gave that a lot of thought. How can God's word be alive? So when Luke and Ed were born, I made up my mind in the morning I would read with them the King James. And Ed was only 1.5 years and Luke was 3. And I knew that they couldn't understand that. And I brought that before the Lord and I said, "Lord, I want to do that. I want to get my kids acquainted with your word." Mm. And so I grabbed the Bible and the kids were sitting there and Ed was sitting there like that. And and all of a sudden, the letters began just dancing in front of my eyes, alive. And so I know God's word is alive.
Amen. Amen. I'm going to give Rosalind a chance. So,
well, I know God is very real. When he called me to go to Kona, Hawaii on a mission in 2008, I had absolutely nothing in my pocket. And I was also had many medical issues. But while I was there, he revealed to me so many things. Like every day was a revelation. I couldn't stop crying. Mm-hmm. And when I came back, I knew he was real. There was no doubt in my mind. Prior to going there, I was wishy-washy. I was a real doubting Thomas. But now, today, the Lord lives in my home.
Hallelujah.
He lives in my heart. Mm-hmm. And I try and tell as many people about Jesus as I can. I'm not ashamed of Jesus. Mm-hmm. I'm bold about it. Mm-hmm. And those of you who know me know that. But anyway, I thank the Lord each and every day for how real he is.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Jerry, would you, I know you're not prepared for this, but can you tell us what's going on with Marvin?
I got a whole book here.
Okay, well, I'm going to sit then.
Might just as well. Is this on?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, it is. Anyway, as I listened this morning, this psalm came to me, and it's one when Gladys was ill, when I was ill, and one that I've spoken to Marvin many, many times. What would have become of me had I not believed to see the Lord's goodness in the land of the living? And many have spoken that this morning. Wait and hope for and expect the Lord. Be brave and of good courage, and let your heart be stout and enduring. Yes, wait and hope for and expect the Lord. Mm. And that is very, very encouraging, and we've heard it this morning. We've been praying for Marvin for a long time. First of all, to come to Christ, and he did. And then secondly, Friday night, they called him and said, "We got a set of lungs for you." So you go immediately, and he's in Edmonton. They did the surgery yesterday, and he's in recovery. And Shelley said it's the first time in 2 years that he's ever sat in peace and looked forward to this, and that's God's answer to prayer. So we do see him now in the land of the living if we're looking for him and if we're connected to him. So we should stay connected.
That's encouraging. Amen. You say amen? Marvin is a son-in-law, and he's been struggling with heart and, mostly lung problems, waiting for this lung transplant, and we've been praying for him for months and months, and praise God that it just really looks like, I mean, he's received his lungs, and it looks like there's real success with it.
Praise God. To me, God is very, very real. Like, back home, we have so many names, starting with God is, God is, God is. My kids' names are Oluwatomi. That means God is enough for me. The second one is Oluwatobi. That means God is great. The last one is Oluwatofarati. That means God is reliable. They all have stories around those names. I'll just tell you the first one, Tomizon. For 6-7 years, we didn't have kids. And were believing God for a child. And we prayed and God spoke to us about having kids and all that. And it took a while, but you know, you still have to remind God that, God, this is your word. So we went to a doctor, and we did the test, and it came out that he said, there's nothing wrong with you guys, you can have kids and all that. But he has an option for us, like I have to take some injections and all that. And I said, okay, is that the only thing? He said, yes. I got home, I told my husband, they said, oh, I'm supposed to be taking some injections and all that. He said, are you going to do it? I said, no way, I'm not doing it. There's nothing wrong with me at this point in my life. If God cannot do it, then let him not do it. And the doctor said, I'll call you in 2 weeks' time to get my response. And when he called me, I said, you know what, I'm pregnant. He said, but that is not possible. I said, well, I don't know what happened, but I am pregnant. So he said, see me first thing tomorrow, because this is somebody you don't see for weeks and weeks. And he said, see me first thing tomorrow. He did this scan. He said, what happened? I don't know what happened yet. There's a child there. And, you know, before, when he was treating me before, there was nothing there. And, you know, I said, I don't know what happened, but I guess God knows what happened. That's one thing I know. And I named my child. God is enough for me. That is Oluwatomi. So we call her Tomi for short. God is very, very real. And there's so many names with starting with God back home. And, you know, if there was no God, nobody would name their child. God is faithful. God is whatever. And I just thank God. It's real.
Amen. Praise God. Okay. Since you're part of the story.
Praise the Lord. Well, actually, there was a time she was pregnant in Nigeria. God is real. She was pregnant in Nigeria, and unfortunately, probably because she looks big, she looks good, but slightly bigger than me. So the doctors didn't know I was the husband. They took her in, they said she had something like, what was it called? Incomplete abortion. So they took her into the theater, and they tried to evacuate the remaining of the baby from her womb. But fortunately, the doctor that was doing the evacuation happened to be a Christian, and I was sitting right there. He just came out and he was like, why did they ask me to abort this woman? She's pregnant. There's no abortion. There's no incomplete abortion here. This is a full child. They made me abort a full child. And I'm like, God. And since after then, the pregnancy ceased, and there was no pregnant afterwards. But glory be to God that even when people thought, you know, all hope are gone, God still blessed us with these three kids. So God is definitely real. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. We're going to just do one more here. So, Lord, show me the right person here. Sonny, I'm going to give you the last shot here.
Okay, thank you very much. I recall when, about nearly 4 years ago, when Rose came to be with us.
Yeah.
And we weren't sure whether we should take her or not. And so after a meeting with the social worker on the way home, my wife has said, you know what, I really feel God's telling me to fast and pray. And please excuse me, because this story is really, really dear to my heart. And so I did. And Saturday afternoon, the Lord says, go to my word. And I opened my Bible, and there it was right before me. Greater love has no man, and he laid down his life for his neighbor. And that is God, the most real that you could ever get.
Amen. Amen. And what a blessing she is, right? What a blessing. Gaston, would you pray for me? Just pray for the word.
Want me to pray for you?
I need prayer. Is that okay?
Yeah. So, Father, we thank you that you come before us, Father, and you lead us, and you're with us, and you're among us, and you love us, and you want to talk to us like you do every week, Father, with power and liberty and wisdom and hope. And, Father, you have anointed this man use his lips, like you do every week, Father. And thank you for you in him. Well, thank you for that flavor, the wisdom of this man, that you give him a desire to speak your oracles. May you do it with confidence and blessings. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah. So God is real. Amen. And if you've come today and you're wondering about that, you know, sometimes we wonder about that, even if we've been Christians for a long time, because we're not seeing what we want to see sometimes. And so then, you know, the enemy works that way. And he starts whispering those things, you know, maybe God's not real. Maybe God doesn't love you. You know? Maybe God's not hearing you. And those are all lies. We need to know how real God is. He's so real. He does very specific things in our lives. He shows himself to us in very specific ways. He's a God of revelation. And if we just open our eyes, right? And I think that's really should be one of our main prayers. Lord, open my eyes because I'm so distracted by everything else out there that I'm not seeing you. And it isn't because you're not there, God. It's just because I'm seeing all the other things. So God, open our eyes today. Open our eyes. There's some things that were spoken here that you needed to hear. There are some things specifically, I believe, that God spoke, you know, to some of you from the things that were shared. And that's from God. God is speaking. He's speaking about some of those particular things. And I could just sense that today. There was a connection. There's a reason why someone said what they said. It was for you. You need to receive that. You need to understand that God's still in control. You need to understand that he's faithful. He's going to be with you no matter where you go. He really is. We're going to open God's word because we love God's word, and we need to hear from him. Amen? It's going to start with a question before I read this passage in Genesis. Not Exodus, Genesis. How many of you have been to a little village called Nod? Anyone been to Nod before, just southeast of Vegreville? Anyone? No one's been to Nod. Well, that's because Nod isn't by Vegreville at all. It's somewhere else. And I'm glad no one put their hand up because I'd be probably feeling bad because I shouldn't have asked a question. But today I want to talk, we're going to learn about Nod, okay? We're going to learn about Nod. And the people who, I don't know what they were called, the Nodites or the Nodules or whatever they were called. And you're saying, well, I've never, you know, that's a pretty weird message. That's a strange sermon. Yeah, you're right. We read about that in Genesis chapter 4 today. It's a story of Cain and Abel, and you're familiar with that part of the story. And I'm going to just start reading in just a few verses earlier in verse 23 of Genesis 3, where God banishes Adam and Eve from the garden. And God says, that's it. I told you this is going to happen. You can't live in my Eden. You can't live here. You now are going to be banished east of Eden. Which, by the way, is a really good book by John Steinbeck, but that's got nothing to do with this. Here we go. So the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had been taken. And after he drove the man out, Adam, he placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. And Adam lay with his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. And she said, with the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man. And later she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now Abel kept flocks and Cain worked the soil. And in the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. But Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. And the Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. And so Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. And the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, now get this, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. Now Cain said to his brother Abel, let's go out to the field. Apparently Cain didn't listen to anything God had to say. Didn't even heed this warning at all. So he said to his brother Abel, let's go out to the field. And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and he killed him. And the Lord said to Cain, "Where is your brother Abel?" "I don't know," he replied. "Am I my brother's keeper?" And the Lord said, "What you have done, what have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. And now you are under a curse and driven from the ground, which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it will no longer yield its crops for you. You will be a restless wanderer on the earth." And Cain said to the Lord, "My punishment is more than I can bear. Today you're driving me from the land, and I will be hidden from your presence. I will be a restless wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me." But the Lord said to him, "Not so. If anyone kills Cain, he will suffer vengeance seven times over." And then the Lord put a mark on Cain so that no one who found him would kill him. And so Cain went out from the Lord's presence and lived in the land of Nod, east of Eden. Amen. God says that you'll be a restless wanderer, he said to Cain. And he sends him off to a place called Nod. And the word actually Nod, the name Nod, means a place of wandering. So Cain was a wanderer in a land of wandering. And that's significant. I wonder sometimes, you know, I think of that whole story of the fall and how we were banished, we were exiled from the garden. And that Cain went about just wandering through the land, spent his whole life as a wanderer, someone who was a sojourner, someone who was a nomad, someone who just kept going around in circles, and someone who was restless. You know, think about that a little bit with me this morning. That was the result of Cain's sin. And I wonder whether some of that DNA, I'm talking about the spiritual DNA, isn't still in so many people today. And I know we're talking in spiritual terms here, but that there's still that sort of that spiritual DNA that we come from some origin, we come from that some source, and that spirit of wandering, that spirit of, you know, always walking but never getting anywhere, that spirit of being a nomad, that's still in so many people today. And we want to talk about that this morning. God's word is about that this morning. That Cain was banished to the land of Nod, which was the land called the wandering, the land of wandering, and it was east of Eden, and that he spent his existence there, and that there's still so many people today who are wandering around in Nod. We don't know where Nod is. As a matter of fact, biblical scholars have no idea whatsoever, so that's kind of a good thing, because a lot of times, you know, they surmise or they guess or there's all these opinions. There's not a lot of opinions about this. No one knows where it is. So that's a good thing. And yet, the interesting thing is it seems so familiar still. We don't know exactly where it is, and yet it is here. It's around me. It's in my life. It's in the people that I see. So Nod isn't just some place that's a little star on a map. Nod is the existence that so many people have today because they've turned their back on God and because they feel like they're still banished and they're still exiled. And because they keep moving their feet, but they're not going anywhere. And there's a lot of people who are living that way. And there's a lot of us who would say, yeah, I used to live that way too. I used to live exactly that way. The word lost comes to mind, because that's what lost is. If you've ever been lost, and one time I was really lost in a hunting thing. And then I'll tell you, if you ever really are lost, it's a scary thing. And you don't know where you're going. You don't know where up is, let alone where north is. And there's a lot of people who are living that way today. They're still lost, and they're living in their own kingdom of Nod, and they're living apart from God. And whatever they're doing is of no avail. There's no meaning in their lives. Do you realize that? There's a lot of people, they have no meaning in their lives. They just keep moving, but they don't know where to go to. They just keep their feet, you know, one step after the other, but they aren't getting anywhere. And there's this just great sense in so many people where there's no meaning and there's no peace, except that's the worst part. There's just no peace. All they do is day in and day out. They just keep walking. They keep wandering. They keep living that existence of a nomad. And maybe that's how some of you have felt or are feeling. You know, you just feel like you're not connected. You feel like you're going somewhere, but you never get there. You feel like you're not home. That's a good way to put it, I think. There's no sense of home. There's no sense of really belonging. There's a lot of people like this in our world, a lot of people that we know. I believe that. You know, sometimes we see people who are actually wandering. I know we can talk in metaphorical sense, but some people just literally spend their day wandering, night and day, and they've got a backpack on their back, and they're hungry, and all they do is they just wander about all night. So there's definitely that. I want to look at this and say, who are these individuals? Let's talk about who the citizens are of the kingdom of Nod. And there are some who are actual wanderers, and they're just lost, and they're just moving their feet, and they're going where they got to go or where they think they got to go, although they're not arriving, never arriving. But there's a lot of other people who are citizens of Nod, and it's not as evident, maybe. They don't carry a backpack, but they're just as lost. And the problem is, and here's what we need to understand today. The problem is that if you're a citizen of the kingdom of Nod, you are believing a lie. And here's the lie. The lie is that you're free, all right? The lie is, if I'm a wanderer, and if I get to just do whatever I want to do, and I can spend all day just meandering about, I'm free, man. This is freedom. And that's the biggest lie of all, right? People think that I'm a wanderer. I get to be a nomad. I get to just travel wherever I feel like going. I get to live my life. I get to do whatever I feel like doing. I'm free. This is free. No one tells me what I can do or what I can smoke or what I can eat or what I can drink. I can do whatever I feel like I want to do, and I'm free. That's a lie. All right? That's a lie. We think, and this is the lie of the enemy, but we think that freedom comes when we are untethered from God, right? The people who I don't want any part of God. I've had these discussions with people before. I'm not tied to God. I don't want to be connected to God. I want to be free, right? I want to be free, like the balloon. You know, you let it go and it just floats away. That's how I want to live my life. I don't want to be tethered to God. That's what most people think who aren't believers. Because they think that when we're connected to God, or when you have a relationship with the Father through Jesus Christ, they believe that you got to give up your freedom. We're going to get to that. All right? So it's a big lie to believe that you're free just because you have connected or disconnected yourself from God. That's just a big lie. And so people live their lives, and maybe that's true for, you know, some of us here, or maybe it's part of your past when I describe some of this. The truth is, you thought you were free, and you weren't free at all, right? So who are these citizens of the kingdom of Nod? Well, there's lots of people. Lots of people are in that citizenship. People who think that they can do whatever they want to do and live however they choose to live and think that's what freedom is. The young adult girl or woman who thinks it's freedom, I'm going to just give you some examples. She thinks it's freedom to be able to sleep around with whoever she wants to sleep around with. And she goes, man, it's just, I'm free. I can do whatever I want to do. You know, and everyone around her and the world and Satan try to confirm that and say, yeah, you're free, man. You just go into bed with whoever you want to go into bed with, and there's no consequences. You're just free to do whatever you choose to do. That's a lie when she believes that. Let's not fool ourselves that there are huge consequences to living that way. And that there's no freedom in that at all, as a matter of fact. You know, there's all kinds of things that can happen when you live that lifestyle. But one of the things that happens is you become known as the girl who does that. And you become identified as the girl who sleeps around with all kinds of different guys. And you are not free from the story. Even just the story itself, you're not free from it. You're not free from what you've done. Someday you may need to explain that to someone that you really love, that you've lived this way because you thought you were free. And I'm talking aside from disease and aside from, you know, the possibility of pregnancy or AIDS or any of those other consequences. The world says, and Satan says, you can be free. This is your body. You know, do whatever you want to do with it. But it's a lie. The story and the shame of it stays with you. You're not free, even though it's sold to you as freedom. Or what about money? The 50-year-old businessman who says, I just want to make more money. I got $1 million, I want $1,000,001. I got $5 million, I want $6 million. The guy who believes in free enterprise, let's talk about him, because he's also a citizen of the kingdom of Nod. He wants more money, and he's hungry for more money. But you know what? It isn't he who possesses his money after a while. It's the money that possesses him. You become a slave to that money. You become a slave to your investments. You become a slave to your RSPs. You become a slave to that next dollar. You're not free. The money owns you. You know where freedom is? Let me tell you something. You know where freedom is? Freedom in money is never in spending it. Freedom in money, having money, the freedom that we have when we have money, it is not in spending it. And here's a surprise. It's not even in saving it. Right? Some people think, oh, if I save it, I'm free. Oh, I'm free. It's not in spending it. It's not in saving it. The freedom that we have in Christ when we have money is in giving it. That's where real freedom comes. It's in giving it out. It's in being generous, right? We need to learn about that. So there's lots of examples of that, lots of citizens of the kingdom of Nod, and the way that people live. I can't tell you how many times, as a pastor, I've been in a hospital and dealing with people who are dying and spending the last couple of days with them. And there are some people, even in my own family, and other people who were church members, people who weren't church members at all, that I've sat by their beds, and these are people who have eaten anything they've ever wanted. They've drank whatever they felt like drinking. They smoked their whole lives, all in the name of freedom, saying, I'm free, man. I can live whatever way I want to live. Don't tell me what to eat, and don't tell me what to drink. Don't tell me what to smoke. But let me tell you something. When you're in the hospital, and you're in the palliative care unit, and you're laying or you're sitting with someone who's laying down who has that rattling breath, you know, that rattling breath. I have never once have I ever had one of those individuals look me in the eye moments or hours before their death and said to me, man, this is freedom. This is the freedom I've always wanted in my life. There's no freedom in it. There's always a consequence to living apart from God's desired way and his will in our lives. Do you understand that? There's always a consequence, and we are believing the lie. And there's a whole world out there who are believing the lie that I'm a citizen of Nod, and this is great, man. I am detached from God. I am untethered. I can do whatever I feel like doing, and it's all great. It is not all great. Eventually, the balloon will run into a tree or hit the ground or a barbed wire fence, and it's going to go boom. Eventually, the what you think is freedom, eventually you're going to find out it isn't freedom at all. It's complete captivation. There was a kid this week who was car surfing, and I don't know if you've heard of this. I suggest you don't do it. He's from Ontario. I think he was 17 years old. He thought he should be free to jump on a car and surf while it's going 40 miles an hour down the road. And as it happened, and as it often happens, he fell off the car and smashed his head on the ground and he died. See, he thought he was free. That's just an example. It's exactly how we live our lives, or so many people do. I can do whatever I feel like doing. If I want to stand on the roof of my car, I'm going to do it because I'm free, man. I'm free. You're dead, man. You're dead. And that's the truth. That's the truth. We mystify that sojourner thing, that nomad. You know, we have images and stories of the guy who drives his Harley, the lone rider. We think that guy's cool, man. He's a lone rider. He drives his Harley. He's all by himself. He drives himself into the sunset. He is a free spirit. We think, wow, you know, we make movies about this. Or the cowboy on his horse, and it's just him, just the cowboy and his horse on the open trail. How many John Wayne movies haven't been made about that? But you know what? Ultimately, it's a lie. It really is. Because before long, somewhere along the line, the horse is going to die. And before long, the motorcycle is going to run out of gas. And there's no real freedom in it. You get that? And here's what God's Word says. If you want to understand what freedom really is, just turn with me to Galatians chapter 5 today. And the Apostle Paul tells us about freedom. In Galatians 5, he says this, "It's for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery." That's Galatians 5:1. It's for freedom that Christ has set us free. You know what? God wants you to be free. You want to be free? Great. God's on the same page as you. But here's the truth. Here's the real message you need to hear, that if you want to be free, you need to get as connected to God as you can. Not as disconnected. You need to get attached to Him. You need to get tethered to Him. You need to know His Word. You need to hold on to Him with all you got, because that's where freedom comes. Freedom does not come when you turn your back on God. Freedom comes when you have a relationship with the Father through Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. And it's a complete anomaly. Everything I'm telling you is totally opposite from what you would learn in the world. What do you mean? That doesn't sound like freedom. It sounds like slavery. Amen. It's slavery. I'm a slave to Christ. I am a slave to Christ. I am going to be bound to Him. I will be chained to Him. And it is in Him that I will find my absolute freedom. My absolute freedom. And it's a price. That freedom is a price that is paid for with the blood of Jesus. Do you understand that? I am free today, and boy, I am. And I know what it's like. I remember very clearly what it was like not to be free. I might have looked free on the outside, but inside there was nothing but turmoil, and everything was incongruent in my life. In other words, it just nothing matched. None of the pieces of the puzzle fit. None of them did. I remember what it's like to not really have any freedom at all until you surrender to Jesus Christ, until you give in to Him, and until you allow His blood to build a relationship between you and God again. There is no freedom. It always costs blood. Freedom always costs blood. There would be no freedom from slavery, you know, through the whole civil rights movement, if there wasn't blood that was shed. It took the blood of Martin Luther King, and it took the blood of John Kennedy and Robert Kennedy to purchase, you know, if you might say, to provide for freedom for people in that civil rights movement. Or think about the wars. You know, we're free today. We have great freedom in our country. We have so many privileges. We have such a blessing to live here, but none of that would have happened if it were not for men and women who gave their lives and poured out their blood. Freedom always costs blood, and that's especially true of our spiritual freedom. It costs the blood of Jesus Christ. You get that? It costs the blood of Jesus. He gave it all for you and for me. He gave His life. He gave His blood so that He could make it possible for us to have a relationship with the Father. And that's what I'm preaching today, and it's what God's Word is saying, is that we need to have a relationship with God, not to be untethered, not to have nothing to do with Him, but to have everything to do with Him, to stop running away from His arms and to start running into His arms. Do you hear that? We need to run into His arms to find real freedom and to find that He loves you and He cares for you. It says in Galatians 5, "It is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Stand firm then." Stand firm and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. And then turn to verse 13. "You, my brothers, were called to be free." You get that? You're called to be free. He positions you. He positions you in a place where you are intended to be free. Wow. "But do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love." Right? Hallelujah. And then it goes on. Listen. "And the entire law is summed up in a single command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroying each other." Listen. I am free to serve. That's really how freedom is. It manifests itself. It's how freedom gets seen. It's how it's visible in our lives. Paul says, it's for freedom that Christ has set you free. And he says, now, if you are called to be free, don't use that freedom to indulge the flesh, but serve one another. Serve one another. It's where we really recognize that we are free is when we start to serve each other. We start to care for each other. We start to love each other. We start to help one another. We take someone out for a cup of coffee. We help someone move because they've got to move. We serve each other. We serve one another. There's freedom in that. It's the life of Christ, isn't it? He came to serve. He came to seek and save the lost, but he came to serve us as the ultimate servant. He gave even his life for us. There are some of you today that need to hear this, that it's time that you start serving. You've been served long enough. You have. It's time that you get off of the milk. It's time you get off the breast. It's time that you start serving other people because you're draining the rest of us, and you don't need to be. I know it sounds pretty harsh, but it's a harsh message. You don't need to be coddled anymore. That may not be true for all of you. If you're a new Christian, this doesn't relate to you. But if you've been a Christian for a while, you don't need to be coddled anymore. You don't need Gertie. You don't need Pastor Alvin. You don't really need Colleen. You don't need Pastor Stan or Rob or Chris. You need Jesus. You need Jesus. That's right. The Bible says that if you're really free, you will be serving, not just being served. And you are draining some people that don't need to be drained anymore. They need to spend their time with other new Christians or other believers. So, you know what? The answer to the dilemma in so many lives, you know, a lot of people have dilemmas. They go, I don't know how to live. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how to break this addiction. I don't know how to, you know, get over this depression. The answer is start serving someone. Start serving someone. You want to stop drinking? Then go and help someone and help them day after day after day. Do something that's going to contribute to their lives. Show that you're really free. You are free in Christ, so it's time to serve one another in love. It's about love. It's about love, right? You are way more mature than you know. And I think that's one of the big lies is we just keep believing this, that all I can do is just wander around. I'm going to wander around in a circle. I'm going to wander around in a circle. And maybe I'll take Gertie with me. Let's wander around the circle. Let's wander around the circle. We're not going to get anywhere, but we're just going to keep our feet moving, and we're going to keep our feet moving, and we're never going to get home. We're never going to be able to do, you know. It's you are way stronger, way more mature, and it isn't because of you. It's because of the Spirit that lives in you. It's really true. And you can read it in Galatians 5. That's homework for this afternoon. But it's the Spirit that is in you and the fruit of the Spirit that needs to flow from your life. So stop choking that person who's your discipler and instead disciple someone else. Find someone to encourage. Find someone to have a cup of coffee with. Find someone that you can just phone up and say, hey, I want to pray for you because I know you're struggling with this. Find a way to serve. And whatever problem or addiction or struggle or depression or blackness that is or brokenness that's in your life won't seem nearly as big as it does because that's all you're seeing right now. You're just seeing that thing. Lastly today, I think it's amazing that when God sent Cain, and I know this is a hard thing. It's hard to get kicked out of Eden. There's no fun in this, right? And unfortunately, we all bear some of the consequence of that. But you know what? When God sent Cain to Nod, he said, I'm going to protect him. It's interesting because Cain doesn't repent. I don't know if you noticed this or not. He should have repented. He should have just fallen on his face before God. He should have said, God, I'm so sorry. I murdered my brother. But he doesn't do that. Instead, Cain just feels sorry for himself. And he says, oh, God, what am I going to do without you? They're going to kill me. I'm in big trouble. They're going to kill me. Right? He's just thinking about himself. He doesn't really repent. It's sad, isn't it? It's tragic. And God said, listen, Cain, I'll protect you. What he's really saying? He's saying, I still love you, Cain. You're still my son. And I want you to know that I love you so much, I'm going to protect you. And so he does. God protects Cain from what we're told throughout his whole life. Just like he's been doing for you. And just like he's been doing for you. and like he's been doing for me. I mean, how many of you know how much God has been protecting you from evil for the years that you've lived? How many of you know that you should be dead a long time ago? Yeah. How many of you know that God, even though you know what it, you know you've been banished, you know that you're not where you originally should be, you know that God is still so much the lover of your soul that he protects you and he takes care of you. And maybe he's been doing that in your life for this very moment today. So you could hear this message so that you could hear God speak to you and say, my son or my daughter, it's time that you came home. You don't need to wander around anymore. You think that this is your destiny, that you need to keep wandering, you got to keep going in circles, you keep moving your feet, but you never get anywhere. That's why I sent Jesus. I sent Jesus, I paid with the precious blood of my son, so that you no longer needed to be exiled from Eden. You no longer need to live in Nod. You can live in relationship with me. I have protected you for all of these years. And all that you need to do, you want to come home? Are you tired of not being home? You want to come home? All you need to do is say, Lord, come into my life. Jesus, take over my life. I believe in you, and I want to come back into your arms. And really, what he offers us is rest. The problem of the person who is the wanderer in the land of wandering is there's no rest. Maybe you feel that way today. There's been no rest. You keep moving. You keep going, but there's no rest. There's no peace, and you're not home. Today, I want to give you an opportunity to come home. I want to give you an opportunity because God, in his word, says that he welcomes you back. Come home. Come back. Receive the rest. And aren't you tired? Really, aren't you tired of it? Aren't you tired of living this life that you say is freedom when there's no freedom in that at all? Aren't you tired of being untethered and unconnected to God? Then come home. I know this sounds cheesy, but I'm going to say it anyways because maybe you'll remember it. It's time that you become a citizen not of the kingdom of Nod, but the kingdom of God. I know that sounds cheesy. Don't matter. If you remember it, that's okay. You can say, man, that guy is the cheesiest preacher I've ever heard. I don't care, as long as you remember that God has set you apart. He's put a mark on you so that you could be a part of the kingdom of God. He's put a mark on you so that you could belong to him. Aren't you tired of not belonging? It's time to come home. It's time to come home. It's time to come to Jesus. Amen? All right. In just a minute, I'm going to ask you to come forward. And it's just an opportunity to pray. That's all. Just an opportunity to say, Jesus, I need you in my life, and I want to be really free. So you can do that today, and I hope you'll come. You coming already? Coming already. Okay, you can come here while I finish. It's time, right? Aren't you tired of it?
Yes.
Yeah, I know you are, girl. I know you are. Tired of it. Don't you want to belong?
Yeah, very much.
When Crystal, I spoke earlier about Crystal's mom, and she died last night. I just want to finish with this last little thing. That when she died, she was free to die. And I've been thinking about that all night long. What a privilege it is to be free to die. There's a lot of people who aren't free to die. They go, I don't want to die. I'm not ready to die. You say, what would happen if you die? Oh, man, that'd be terrible. I can't die. I got to live. I'm not ready. You know what? Her mom, because she served the Lord, for all the years of her life, she was ready to die. She was free to die. And I'm going to ask you that today too. Are you free? You don't know how many days you have. Only God knows how many years or how many days you have. Are you free to be with him? Is there anyone else who wants to come forward for prayer? You can come right now. Amen. Thank you, God. Come on, brother. It's time to live a life. Amen? Yeah. Come on in here. What's your name? Al? Glad you're here, Al. Come on in here. I know it's hard. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be ashamed. We're all sinners, man. And we're all lost. I have been as lost as any of you, but I'm found by the grace of God. Come on up. Let's not wait. This is it. It's time to get free. Are you ready to get free? Yeah. Good. Amen. Anyone else? Thank you, Jesus. Come on in here. Praise you, God. It's time. It's time to come home. Come on in here. Can you say amen?
Amen.
This is exciting. This is God. Praise you, Lord. Amen. It's time to come home. It's time to, you don't need to wander anymore. You hear that? Listen to me. You don't need to be a wanderer. You're not a nomad. You are precious to God. You're precious to him. Is anyone else? You feeling God is calling you? You can, you know what? If he calls you, you can ignore that call or you can be obedient. If there's anyone else that wants to be obedient to that call before we pray right now, I'm going to invite you to come. Anyone else? Because I'm not into twisting arms. I don't want to twist your arm at all. If you're not ready, don't come. But these are six people who are saying, they're standing before us today, and they're saying, I want to have a relationship with the Father through Jesus Christ. I'm tired of the way I'm living. I'm tired of this false freedom, right? It's not freedom. The drugs, it's not freedom. The money, it's not freedom. It's not. It's time. I'm going to live honestly, right? We're saying this today. And I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I want you to understand what we're saying here. We're saying to God, God, I want to be free, and I'm not going to live this way anymore. I am going to be connected to you in every way. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So I'm going to ask a few people to join. Jerry and Gladys, if you'd come up here, and if Ted and Cheryl, would you come up here too and just stand around us, please? I just need some help. We need to pray. Gaston, would you come up here? Thank you, God. Praise you, God. Ken Pike, I think God wants you up here too. I don't know why. You can take that up with him. We're going to pray, and then we're going to sing a song as we conclude, but I'm going to ask each one of these people to just take you aside and to pray some more and to help you get more connected. We need to get connected to each other and start serving. So let's put a hand or rest an arm around someone. I'm going to pray, and I want you just to pray after me. Okay, just say with me, Lord Jesus,
Lord Jesus,
I welcome you into my heart.
I am a new creation,
and I'm going to live for you.
I am free
through the blood of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So God, I pray for these six, and we're going to hold them up, Lord. These are your sons and daughters. They are precious. They belong to you. And it's time, God, for them to make a change of residence. No longer living in Nod, but living in a kingdom that is eternal, a kingdom of our Christ, of our King. Lord, I just pray for each of these that you're going to make this easier than they can imagine, God, because we're weak. We aren't able to do this on our own. We stumble. We walk with a limp. God, we need your strength. There's things that we need. I know there's some people here that need housing and they need to get free from addiction. They need just freedom, real freedom, Lord. It is for freedom that you set us free. So God, I just take you at your word today. If you say it, I believe it. So Lord, set these six free. Set them free. And I pray for the power of your Holy Spirit. Let your power reign, Lord. Let your power move. Let your power empower so that these become servants of the Most High God. Using gifts, God. Hallelujah, God. Thank you, Lord. We give you glory, Lord. Thank you that you are a God of second chances. You're a God who forgives. You're a God whose heart is always moved when we repent. And we repent of our past. We repent of the things that we've done. We ask you for a brand new beginning right now, God. A brand new start. We need it. It's time, God. There's death, Lord. I sense there's death hanging over some of these people. I'm just feeling that right now, God. There's death. Some of them are going to die without you, God. It won't be long. God, be merciful. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I want you to find a place, sit in a chair or stand up. That's okay, but we're gonna pray for one person. Two of you can pray for one, or just find a way that everyone gets prayed for, okay? Everyone gets prayed for. Thank you, God. Can you say thank you, Lord? Man. I don't know about you, but I'm hungry to see more people come into the kingdom of God. Yeah. Okay, we should clap good about that. No, not half-hearted, right? We're hungry for that. Amen. I know what I have. I know what God's given me, and I know that He wants that for everyone. That each child is a child of God. And I like what was said earlier by some people that we just need to get that message out. We need to let people know about Jesus Christ. We're going to sing a song over these people. It's a very scriptural thing to do, singing over someone. So let's just stand and sing this prayer. Everyone needs compassion, love that's never ending. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations. Thank you, Lord. Savior.
Savior, He can move the mountain. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave.
So take me as you find me, all my fears and failures, and fill my life again. I give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave.
Savior,
Savior, He can move the mountain. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave.
Just gonna sing it quieter. Here we go. Everyone needs compassion, a love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. And everyone needs forgiveness, kindness of the Savior, and the hope of nations. Now let's sing that. You take me as you find me. And so take me as you find me. All my fears and failures, fill my life again. Everything I believe in, everything I believe in,
Now I surrender. Oh, Savior, He can move a mountain. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Offer of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave.
Savior,
He can move the mountain. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Savior, He can move the mountain. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave.
He rose and conquered the grave.
Jesus conquered the grave.
Rose and conquered the grave.
Jesus conquered the grave.
Woo! Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. He is the God who saves. He is the God who's mighty to save. He is the God who calls us from darkness into light. He's the God of freedom. He is the God who imparts peace into our lives.
Hallelujah.
May the grace and the love and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. God loves you. Remember that. God bless you. God bless you. Go be witnesses.
Purify my heart. Let me be as gold. Precious silver, purify my heart. Let me be as gold, pure gold, refined as fire. My heart's one desire is to be holy. Set apart for you, Lord. I choose to be holy. Set apart for you, my master. Ready to do your will. Purify my heart. Cleanse me from within and make me holy. Purify my heart. Cleanse me from my sin. Deep within, purify as fire. My heart's one desire is to be holy, set apart for you, Lord. I choose to be holy, set apart for you, my master, ready to do your will. Refine as fire, my heart's one desire.
to be